Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took him to his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. For they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, for you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. We are blessed and intrigued by the story to which we review and at this time, and especially this time of the season of the year. But there are many challenges and very, very many testings and along the way. And I just picked out 7 testings that Mary and Joseph had along the way. And I want this to serve as a challenge to all of us to keep the vision bright, the dream that the Lord has given us true before our eyes, and keep it before us and not to let go. One of the first places where we find that this was tested, that the testing comes when Joseph, who had betrothed to Mary, found that his wife was pregnant, his fiancée. And in those days, being betrothed was his binding as his marriage. And the customs back then were very strict, as it is today. And this being betrothed was a great infraction, a breach of trust that in Nazareth, a small town, that a woman, a young lady betrothed would be found to be pregnant, and Joseph knew it wasn't from him. So he was tested. And we kind of just gloss over this and kind of read the story very quickly. And it all fits together very, very nice and tidy. But there are some bumps along the way. And that was certainly one of them. And how we're disappointed in people when they breach the trust that we've confided in them. And a life that is coming into the world, and there is no logical explanation. So that's the first testing. And he said, and then it says in verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, intended to put her away secretly. And that, I'm sure that would have been harder said than done. You know, in the customs of the land, you know, the young ladies, especially the Arabic culture, as soon as they hit puberty, they change their dress. They start wearing different clothes. And so it's very obvious when young women hit certain age. And I'm sure it was no different then. But we might have had Joseph might have had all the right intentions of putting it away secretly, but that would have been a short-lived secret for sure. But when he had thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. And here we see where his thought life was attacked. I'm sure he had less than lofty or at least wondering, questioning questions plagued his heart, and the count as faithful and as full of expectation he must have been, I'm sure he had lingering doubts about his fiance's story, and just as we all would have as well. But then the Lord visited him by an angel and appeared to him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid. And the reason why the angel had to tell him not to be afraid, because he had fear. He had the fear in his heart that this was just another story, another religious situation that he would have to deal with his family and friends and his relatives and the potential scandal that it would bring. Verse 19 said, talking about the public example and the scandal and the humiliation that would incur. Many of you know about the telenovelas that the Israeli TV has on in Spanish, and they're based on intrigue and scandal and humiliation and broken relationships. I even understand that a lot of Israeli teenagers have learned Spanish to get in on these very juicy, interesting stories that are played weekly or daily, as it is. And so human nature feeds off of rumors and tales and scandals, and I'm sure it was no different in Bethlehem and in Nazareth of that day. So the Holy Spirit, through this angel, has to tell David not to be afraid to take Mary for his wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, which was a great leap of faith to believe that, as it would for all of us. And then we see that there's a battle in the mind. The battle to hold a course, to hold the course steady, and to not to fear. And as the Lord gives us vision and faith for dreams that He's given us, we need to hold fast on that which He has implanted in us, and those dreams and visions that are of Him, we need to hold on to them. And I think that Mary sometimes is many times is elevated too high, but sometimes in some of our circles she's not elevated high enough into the special position that the Lord gave her. And she wasn't just a simple girl, because she had dreams and expectations that were quite high. In the Song of Mary, verse 46 of chapter 1 of Luke says, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in the God my Savior, for he has regarded the lonely estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And which shows that she had an attitude of receptivity to the Lord's work and will in her life. And she, though she had no idea, no inkling, I'm sure, that such a momentous earth-shaking, history-making event would take place in her body and through her calling to be the mother of the Savior. She had an attitude of expectation and willingness to be, to receive all that the Lord wanted to do in her life, and not was not just a little simple girl. "For he who is mighty and done great things for me, and the Holy One, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Shows me that also that she had a literacy and a knowledge of the scripture. She was, I'm sure she was studious. She learned, she was a good learner. And she knew the promises of the Savior and the Messiah. "For he has shown great strength with his arm, and scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. For he has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with his good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed and forever." So I learned from this that she had expectations that the Lord had implanted, certainly a dream in her heart, even before this tremendous visitation of the Holy Spirit into her life, and the visiting angel that announced that great things would take place in her and through her. But the promise to her was severely tested, and her walk with the Lord was not an easy walk, because of the circumstances, the apparent breach of trust, the humiliation and the scandal that certainly she had to suffer and bear much alone in that battle. And then the battle of the mind, you know, could this all be true? Could this all be of God? Or was it just too much hummus that she was eating or something like that? She had a battle to battle these things through, I'm sure. It wasn't just a kind of a from victory to victory, mountaintop to mountaintop experience, as we see further on as the Herod came after the children in Bethlehem and wanted to and killed all those below two and below. And there she had to suffer a death of a dream. Her dream was tested. And then as she was, as they were warned in the dream to go to Egypt, again, the testing was severe. And she and her husband were in fear of life and limb. And the fear that must have taken place, and that throughout her whole life it was tested, and that she didn't even see the completion of that dream even until the resurrection, and all through the steps she had many opportunities to doubt, to question, and to fear, and to have her position and have her faith shaken. And how we need to hold on to God and his promises to us as we are given expectations and fears. I was thinking of what Josh was saying about the things that the Lord spoke to him at age 12 and the calling that he's had to serve the Lord in ministry, and how that's been severely tested here, and he almost is looking for any way out to have that, Lord, could you use me in any other way? And that's a time of testing that we all face and continue to be faced with testing and with a walk with the Lord. I'm going to read again from verse chapter 2. Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until he bring me word from Herod, who will seek you, that will seek the young child to destroy him." Again, she might have said, you know, if this is all from the Lord, why are we being hounded and persecuted? Why, you know, if this is a promise of God, isn't he strong enough to shield that which he gave me, which I've borne for his glory? And when he rose, he took the young child by night and departed for Egypt, and there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then Herod dies, but his son Archelaus is brought forth, is to be king in Judea, and it says that he was afraid to go there. Again, a fear played a tremendous part in the ongoing life of the family, the family that the Lord had chosen to bear the Messiah to. And they said they turned into the regions of Galilee because of the fear that accompanied, and the life in this region was on a daily basis full of fear and full of trepidation. I'm sure that the occupying forces, the Romans, who could command anyone off the street to carry a load for them a mile, or to bear a burden for them, were very brutal and very very cruel, and so they were. At every turn, they had challenges to their faith. Every turn, they had questions in their heart. Every turn, they had fear in their heart before the things that could come upon them. And there was very little to go upon. Jesus wasn't performing miracles at that age. And for up to 30 years, he had very little to show for his divine character and for the promise that he would do great things and wonderful things. And so, and the scripture says that Mary held these things in her heart, these promises, and she remained true to them. And so I would urge us and challenge us to, in spite of the apparent breach of trust that sometimes we encounter humiliation and scandal that sometimes is warranted, sometimes unwarranted. Sometimes we have to battle in the mind the thought processes that are challenged constantly, whether this the ministry that the Lord has called us to is truly of Him, and then the fear that accompanies that we all experience. And then our dream is tested and tested again and again, and then we sometimes suffer a death of a dream, and then we need to see that dream resurrected, and then we might take years before we realize the fulfillment of that dream, even as Mary understood and experienced. And she was faithful to the dream right up to the time of the cross, when she saw the son that she bore suffer for none of the fault and sins of his own, but for the sin of the world. And then the fear that even then might be the end of the story, until he gloriously and wonderfully rose from the dead. And so I would encourage all of us that even though we read through this story quickly, It reads kind of seamlessly, a smooth story, kind of fitting, and we concentrate on the angels coming to Bethlehem and singing anthems of praise and glory to the Lord, and then we focus on the wise men coming from the east. And I was thinking about them, how they were invited to come back and have another audience with a king. How many of us would stand up to that temptation of not responding to that invitation? I know many pastors that have come through this land, and they'd practically give their right arm to have an audience with the prime minister or president and be able to hand him one of their latest books and an autograph book and receive and exchange presents and they have a photo op and have maybe a live video conference with him and show beam it back to their home congregation to show what they've been up to here. And I think that it would be very difficult to avoid the temptation of responding to a king that who apparently for all reasons wanted to support their vision. But good thing for all of us that they responded to the direction of the Holy Spirit, not to return by the same way and to slip out over the border and to avoid that photo op opportunity with the ruler of the nation. And so, again, over and over again, those in the Christmas story were tempted to succumb to personal interest and to have glory that wouldn't be of the Lord. But they stayed true to God's calling. And the wise men from the East, we don't know exactly how much of an astrologer they were or how much of an astronomer they were. I'm sure it wasn't such a fine line back there. But somehow the Lord spoke through that maze and through that confusion, whatever they had learned, and spoke to them in such a clear way that they understood that they were about to witness a momentous event. And the Lord was able to speak to their hearts, and they were faithful to that calling. And so we see a story that is very current and very up-to-date for all of us. We're all tempted in different ways to question the calling that the Lord has placed on our lives, to fear, to give in to doubt, to let our thought processes confuse us and to distort the way of the Lord. And yet we're called to be faithful to the vision that He placed in our hearts, as even Mary was faithful to the vision that the Lord placed in her heart in life. And that's why we can celebrate today, because of a few faithful people that stayed true to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this season. We bless you, Lord, that you were born not far from here in humble circumstances. Lord, that the family that you chose to rear you were a normal family. They were subject to all the same things that we experience, all the same doubts and questioning in their minds that we go through. And we bless you, Lord, that they were faithful and that we can be faithful along with them. Lord, that even though sometimes we fail and miss the mark, Lord, you pick us up and you help dust us off to continue to walk with you. And that we surmount these doubts and the fears and these questioning that we all have by just persisting, by walking with you day to day. It's a daily walk, a moment by moment walk that we all have with you. So, Father, we bless you, Lord, that you did come. You were born. You died. You came. You were born actually to die and to rise again from the dead on that cross for us and our sins. And Lord, we pray that there will be those here today, perhaps hearing this message for the first time, that would accept you and receive you unto themselves and receive you as Lord and Savior, because truly you've changed history, you've changed our hearts, and you've created in us the expectation of a life with you for eternity. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.